Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And quickly to David Elias, MD, an orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA, to talk about oblique injuries, although the doctor can't discuss Derek Carr because, Dr. Elias, you've not examined Derek Carr, right?
Correct.
But let's talk about, and look, I appreciate your time. I know you jammed up. Let's talk about the obliques. What are they? When we hear about oblique injury, I don't think people really know what that is.
Well, it's definitely a strange injury, but you do see it in football players and other sports, and it's really not even an orthopedic injury. The oblique muscles are basically the muscles over your abdomen, over your stomach, and you have two of them, the internal oblique and external oblique. And just like any muscle in your arm or leg, it attaches bone to bone. So these muscles attach from your rib cage, and they go down and attach to your pelvis. So you have two on each side. And like any strain, you can tear the muscle at the muscle belly or at the tendon junction, which is what attaches the muscle to the bone. Mm-hmm. So it's really no way to know where he sprained or tore the muscle. The most common way to have this happen, there's two ways. Really, it can be direct contact, get hit with a helmet, or it can be a sudden twisting motion where the muscle just, you forcefully contract the abdomen muscle and it tears. So I think that's probably what we're seeing here.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a hit. Derek Carr did in the press conference after that. It was the motion. Is this the same as the core, doctor? Is that what you're talking about or not?
The core, yeah. I mean, the core, your core is your abdominal muscles. So there's other muscles, but when they talk about the oblique strain, those are kind of the muscles that run on your right side and left side, again, attached from your rib to your pelvis. The good news is it's a non-operative injury, and, you know, across the board, the average oblique injury is usually back in 4 to 5 weeks, and you really just treat it with anti-inflammatories, therapy, and rest.
When you said it's non-orthopedic or not an orthopedic injury, that means there's no surgical remedy or not really?
There's usually no surgical remedy. And most muscle strains, we're treating conservative. So unless they directly pull off the bone, which I guess that could happen in this situation, and, you know, that would be probably a general surgeon that would take care of that. But I can't say I've ever heard of too many athletes with this injury who've had surgery. So it would be pretty unique to need surgery. Typically, this is seen probably by the sports doctor, the primary care sports doctor. And, again, the treatment is rest and therapy and just over-the-counter anti-inflammatories.
Is there have we made any progress, or has medicine made any progress? I know what I'm talking about, but has medicine made any progress when it comes to the treatment of muscle sprains or strains or whatever you do to a muscle, like an oblique injury?
I think we've gotten smarter and a little more aggressive of knowing when to rest and when to rehab. There are different modalities. I mean, a lot of, you know, our hamstring or patella tendon, other injuries, will inject PRP, which is basically the patient's blood. You spin it down and you take all the growth factors from the patient's blood and you inject it into the site of injury. And that can have a positive inflammatory reaction that kind of helps healing. You know, there's some science out there, but I guess most insurance companies still think it's voodoo. So a lot of it's not really covered by insurance, but it's not completely proven. But I think you'll see a lot of PRP injections being done in a lot of these kind of muscle strains to try to speed the process up. And, you know, it makes sense to do that here. I just don't know. There's so many it's so such a rare injury, and usually probably doesn't require that. But that would be the only interventional thing that I would think they may consider.
That would speed up recovery from this?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll necessarily speed it up, but that's the theory, that it could speed it up and that it would help it heal stronger too, you know, just help provide the fertilizer, if you will, yeah, to heal the site of injury.
Tell me about it again. PRP?
It's called PRP, platelet rich plasma, and it's very common in the athletic world, but in the sports medicine world, you basically take the patient's blood, you draw it out, and there's a little centrifuge machine. A lot of companies make them, and you spin it down, and you basically get rid of all the bad stuff in the blood, and you keep all the growth factors. Kind of like stem cell, but not quite the same quality of stem cell. But it's kind of in the science of the stem cell technology.
I heard Derek Carr say that he wanted to stay out there and fight, and they asked the doctors if there was anything they can do, and the doctor said there wasn't. I'm paraphrasing all of this now. There wasn't time for that. Is this anything that could be treated with, or talk about generally speaking, I guess, Dr. Elias, treating something like this?
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So with a painkiller and the dangers of doing that, or a local injection or something along those lines?
I mean, you could do that. You could make them feel better, and depending on the degree of the sprain, they might be able to mask some of the pain and go play. I guess the risk with any muscle strain is, are you going to cause more damage and then take an injury that would take 2 to 3 weeks to get better and extend it out to 6 to 8 weeks because you re-injured it. So that would be the risk. And again, it depends on the degree of his injury. Really, the only diagnostic study they could get is possibly an MRI. I'm sure they did that to look at the degree of injury, which will also lead them, the doctors taking care of him, to know how aggressive they can be with getting him into rehab and getting him back.
Generally speaking, is there a danger when you numb something like that where you go from a strain or a pull or whatever? What's the difference between a strain and a pull, first of all, and then to a tear?
Really no difference. We call a muscle, anytime you hear the word muscle strain, you're actually tearing muscle fibers.
Okay.
And, you know, the amount of muscle fibers you tear would just be the degree of the tear or sprain, so mild, moderate, severe. And I hadn't seen any terminology they've used with him.
So a pull is the same as a strain or a tear?
Pull is the same as a tear, yep. Pull, strain, muscle tear, yep.
What does something like this feel like if you have this?
I would assume it feels like a sharp cramp or like stabbing pain that he probably felt right on the side of his abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
So... And like you'd feel with a hamstring or an Achilles, you feel that like sudden stabbing or snake bit feeling.
One question I have, and Lord knows I'm no athlete, but it seems like when the weekend warriors pull something, it's better to just rest it completely. But then with these athletes, they try to get them out on a field with a hamstring or something else. How do you draw the line with patients or athletes as an orthopedic surgeon when it comes to something like a hamstring injury or something along those lines between rehabbing it and resting it enough and then risking re-injuring it while you're not resting it enough, if that makes sense to you, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, again, every injury is different. I mean, anytime you strain or pull a muscle, no matter where it is, the initial treatment is going to be rest, mm-hmm, and just get the symptoms calmed down. And then as the patient can tolerate it, you get them into therapy and you start some exercises that kind of help stretch the muscle, help get rid of the scar tissue around the muscle. And really, it's really a functional base. You know, if the patient's feeling better, you increase their function. And, you know, most physicians will make their patient go through some sort of functional return to play in the office before they send them out there in pads full speed.
So I guess what I'm asking is, would it be best for somebody with something like this, again, depending on the injury, or just the weekend warrior listening, to just sit and do nothing? Or do you work other muscles that you can, or do you risk hurting what you have already hurt if you do something else wrong?
I don't think he's going to risk hurting anything by getting into rehab early, but he just may not feel like doing it early. So, again, rest for him may be 2 to 3 days, and then I imagine they're going to get him into some rehab where they just kind of get the muscles moving again, get his abdomen twisting. I'm not sure what side it was, but for him, you know, he's turning. He turns to throw the ball one way more than the other. So, you know, I think that may have, you know, some sort of degree of when he comes back to, you know, what side did he injure?
I think it was his left side, if I remember him grabbing it when he went down. Either way, Doc, I appreciate your time. Generally speaking, we're talking about what, like 3-4 weeks here?
I'd say 3 to 5 weeks would be probably an average for the average oblique sprain.
3 to 5 weeks. Hey, thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time as always, all right? I know you're busy.
Oh, okay.
Dr. David Elias, orthopedic surgeon with Ortho LA. It was his left side. Tim reviewed the video. That's what he grabbed. So 3 to 5 weeks on Derek Carr. That's what we're looking at. You can text me if you want, 504-260-1870, Spencer Rattler or Jake Haner. I was surprised. Jake Haner is listed at 6'1". And Jake Haner did not look to me like he was 6'1". He looked like, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way at all. I'm just saying from the what do you call it, proportion, the size and the helmet and everything else, he looked like he was a very frail young man out there playing football. I don't know if Spencer Rattler's any bigger or not, but either way, who do you want, Rattler or Haner? I trust the Saints coaches to make the decision, both the mid-round picks. I don't know if there's a lot of political capital either way. Tim, we checking traffic here? What are we doing? 720, let's go to traffic, WWL. 744, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We feel for our friends in Florida. And we'll talk, as a matter of fact, in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to spend an hour with WWL Louisiana meteorologist Brooke Laser to talk about not only Milton, but she used to work in an area that was affected by Helene. And we're going to kind of trace that storm and take its path up through the United States and how it caused so much damage in Georgia and North Carolina. But right now we're joined by Dr. Mark Klein, Senior Vice President, Physician-in-Chief, and Chief Medical Officer for Children's Hospital New Orleans, because they have a thing. They've been recognized as one of the world's best specialized hospitals for pediatrics. Good morning, Dr. Klein. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Tommy. Good morning to you.
Thanks for taking the time. I'll remind everybody we will be doing our annual Children's Hospital Radiothon, as we do every year. They're still putting the details together on that, but we know how important Children's Hospital is to the community. And tell me about this distinction, if you will, Doc.
Well, we're proud to be recognized for the fourth consecutive year by Newsweek, actually, as one of the world's best children's hospitals. They do a survey of thousands of health professionals across the world. They also look at publicly available hospital quality metrics, results from patient surveys. Anyway, they put it all together, and they rank 250 hospitals across the globe. And here we are. We're the only hospital in Louisiana and this part of the Gulf South that is ranked as among the best children's hospitals in the world. And, you know, it's a million little things that lead to a ranking like this, but we're working hard to expand access to the services we provide, taking care of kids with the most complex and serious medical issues. We really feel that children should not ever have to leave the state of Louisiana for the care that they need. They should be able to get it right here at home, and we're doing our best to deliver on that promise.
I know you say a million different things, but talk about some, I know you can't go through a million of them, but talk about some of the things that makes Children's Hospital special and some of the things that you guys focus on.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Tommy, I would say, you know, we are what is called a comprehensive freestanding children's hospital. That means we cover the waterfront. We do absolutely everything that there is to do. We have every available service for children. There is no specialty in pediatrics that we don't cover. If a child has a complex medical problem or a serious or life-threatening medical issue, this should be the place that they can go. There are other hospitals that call themselves children's hospitals that are more of a boutique nature. They do some things and not others. But we try to attend to medical problems in a very comprehensive and holistic way. We've been growing all of our services over the past number of years. We attracted about 40 new faculty physicians in 2023 alone. We'll have about the same number joining us this year. These are best and brightest, really talented individuals from across the United States who are moving to New Orleans to be part of what we do. I think that's actually a kind of a spinoff benefit of all of this, is bringing a lot of talent to the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. But that's really the thing, is the comprehensive nature of what we do and the fact that we're four kids and only four kids.
You know, when we are there for the Radiothon, one thing that always touches me and amazes me is the NICU department. Yeah. I was going to say NICU unit, but it is the neonatal intensive care unit. That's kind of like VIN number, right, doctor, where you put that extra letter in there. Tell me about that and the work you guys do with that, please.
Well, these are our most fragile patients, I guess. They're often very, very tiny, born prematurely and with other health issues, maybe congenital heart disease or some other kind of congenital anatomic problem of their intestines or their lungs or something else. So they are tiny and fragile, and the doctors and nurses who work in that unit are very adept at taking care of these tiny patients and nursing them along and growing them and feeding them and taking care of what other medical issues they have. And some of them stay a long time. They may stay a year or longer in some cases, reaching a state of stability where they can be discharged home with their moms and dads. So, yeah, that's one of the most important things we do. But, you know, supporting that NICU, we have a really fabulous heart program, and we do a lot of congenital heart surgery here at the hospital. And then we have specialists in any other area you can name to support the NICU and every other area across the hospital.
The you mentioned moms and dads, and a very important part of what you do is treating the whole family, right? When it comes to, and I'm thinking, Doc, of the NICU, and, you know, here's the most precious thing as a parent you can possibly have, and you turn it over to people that, and this is everything to you. This is more valuable than anything you could ever win, own, buy, whatever, and you turn it over to them, and you trust it to them, but part of the care that you provide for the infant is also for the parents, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they're inextricably linked, invariably, and so we've got a baby or a child that we're taking care of, but they have a mom and a dad, and they have siblings, and we've got to attend to the whole family, because when health adversely affects a child, it adversely affects the entire family. We want that whole family to come out on the other side healthy and whole. And so, yes, we have services for the parents and for the kids, the other family members that are affected by this. And so and we address not just the physical health of babies and children, of course, but also their mental and emotional health as well, because those are also invariably linked.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because Children's Hospital Outreach, also when it comes to protecting kids, extends beyond the hospital. We'll talk about that when we return. We're talking to Dr. Mark Klein, Senior Vice President, Physician in Chief, and Chief Medical Officer for Children's Hospital New Orleans. It's October. December will be here before you know it. It'll be time for the Odyssey Children's Hospital Radiothon. More details on that as we put the event together. 7:51, 9 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. 756 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Mark Klein, Senior Vice President, Physician in Chief, Chief Medical Officer for Children's Hospital New Orleans. They've, once again, 3 years in a row, Doc, been recognized one of the world's best specialized hospitals for pediatrics. 3 years in a row, right?
Four
years in a row.
Yeah, this is our fourth year, Tommy.
And that's inside, that's stuff, we were talking about things you do inside the hospital, but recently, you know, you look at 11-year-old shot and killed in LaPlace. We had a 13-year-old in St. Bernard Parish fatally shot himself mishandling a gun. You had a 15-year-old shot to death along Bundy Road. Talk about some of the things that Children's Hospital is doing to address gun violence. And this is not political at all. This is just about teenagers getting killed is the only point I'm trying to make here. Doc, and pick it up there if you will, please.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, gunshots are one of the leading causes of death for children and adolescents in the United States today. And, you know, too many guns in the hands of kids who don't know how to handle them safely, and guns left unsecured. And so in partnership with the City of New Orleans, we've been distributing biometric gun safes. This is a way of putting a gun away out of the hands of your kids, keeping them safe. These safes can be opened by fingerprint or by a number that can be coded in. We've distributed about 1,200 of these in the New Orleans community so far. We just got an additional $300,000 grant from the City of New Orleans to distribute 800 more. It's just a practical way, Tommy, of locking the gun away, making sure it's available to the adults who own it, but unavailable to kids who might happen upon it, find it, and hurt themselves or hurt another child. And we see way too many kids with gunshots in our emergency department. We're the trauma center for children for the City of New Orleans, and we just see way too many of those, and they're, every single one of them is tragic, and we'd like to prevent them to the extent that we can.
How do people find out more about that, Doctor?
They can go on to chinola.org, chinola.org, to find out more, or call the hospital and just ask about them. And we make them available at a number of community events, and they're free of charge. And we're happy to see them used. And the feedback we've gotten from the folks that have received them is that, you know, this is a practical way of securing a gun that seems to be acceptable to just about everybody.
Thank you, Doctor. God bless y'all. Go ahead. We'll have about 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, I was just going to say, you know, partnership is everything. I mentioned this partnership with the City of New Orleans, but, you know, with the schools, the work we do in the schools, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our two academic partners, Tulane University and LSU Health. We couldn't do any of what we do without all of our good partners.
Thank you, Doc. God bless you.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.